Hi, welcome to Jersey Mike's.
So how do shore points work?
As you can see, 6 regular number 13s plus 3 giant 7s equals a free regular number 13. But now, 8 number 13s, each plus a Pepsi and a Lay's, will also equal a free regular number 13. Or it could equal a regular free number 17 if you want.
Uh-huh, okay.
So Pepsi and Lay's now earn you more points towards free subs. It's simple math, really.
That adds up.
Exactly. Download the Jersey Mike's app and earn rewards toward free subs with every Pepsi, Lay's, and sub you purchase.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, Joe, if we go back some years, a couple centuries, you know, or so, if I picture and I said, Joe, tell me, describe how you think a wizard or a witch would be dressed. How would they look? What would you say?
I guess we've all watched Walt Disney and have these pictures of the long robes and the pointed hats. And, yeah, most of us got our childhood memories of a wizard or witch from that.
But, you know, Joe, witchcraft and wizardry are on the rise right now more than they've ever been. And now, today, if I was to tell you, these wizards, Joe, you know, many of them wear three-piece suits, and they don't dress
they
that way.
They call themselves warlocks, too, many of them.
That's right, and I'm going to be preaching, Lord's willing, unless the Lord changes it up, I'm going to be preaching at witchcraft on the rise in America today because people don't understand witchcraft has taken over corporate America. Now, and I'm going to tell you that in a sense that when we know that pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy from, pharmakia means wizardry. It means witchcraft, but we'll go into that in more detail. But right now, I want to show a clip. And this is Tucker Carlson. He does an excellent job exposing.
Throw one thing in before
sure.
You do the clip. I have one bit of good. You were talking about what the chatter was about China. I don't think anything is going to happen until next year, and the reason being, Xi has got to get voted in for his third term next year. I think in the first part of 2023, and I don't think he's going to do anything till he gets reelected, reappointed on his third year. Or his third term as the head of the Chinese Communist Party. And after that, I would really start to worry. But I think until then...
Well, they have to stop the election. There's no way, if they understand, if we have a fair, an actual fair and honest election, the Democratic Party is going to be decimated. I mean, if that happens,
yep.
Okay. And more state legislators are making a warning. We're watching. We're going to be watching you on all of the red states. And the blue states are still totally corrupted. Okay.
I think you're right. The Biden administration is kind of trying to encourage China to do that. And by look what we did in Afghanistan, we gave away a lot of our military.
$85 billion worth of we gave to the enemy. We armed the enemy.
Cutting our military, our soldiers, our National Guard, our ready reserves, you know, all this that's going on. But I think the Chinese aren't going to fall for the trap is what I'm praying.
Well, they've been buying up. They just purchased more and more, several billion dollars worth of farmland throughout America. They're buying our farmland. They're going to control the food. And it's being done. The Biden crime cartel family. The Biden crime cartel family is working hand in hand with China, with the Mexican drug cartels, and with the human smuggling cartels. The Biden crime cartel, along with the Clinton crime cartel, and all, I've been working hand in hand with the other criminals and to destroy America.
Those drug cartels have made $13 billion this year because of the drug trade and the human trafficking. And, I mean, we're talking that's bigger than the GDP of most of the countries in the world. And Biden has to, I mean, his team has to know what kind of money they're making, and they're doing it with his permission and his perusal.
Absolutely.
It can't be by accident. It can't be by stupid. It has to
and
be.
And believe me, all of those, whether it's the Obama regime, all of those that the corrupt FBI, that the corrupt FBI is covering up for, money is flowing in, large amounts of money, and it's going to right to the right people, and the cover-up is being bought, the cover-up is being paid for. You know it, and I know it.
Yep.
Okay, exactly. We're going to play the clip. We'll be back right after this.
One single tragedy that's produced the highest casualty rate in the United States, it would probably have to be the opioid crisis. Over the past 25 years, opioids have destroyed entire regions of the country, mostly rural areas, places populated by the people who built and fed this country for generations. Hundreds of thousands of them have died from opioids, and they're still dying. More than 100,000 drug ODs just last year, mostly from fentanyl. Fentanyl's imported from China. It's smuggled through Mexico. If you live here, you probably know someone who's died from fentanyl, probably someone's child. What you may have forgotten in the face of all the sadness is that the opioid epidemic was not organic. It didn't just happen one day because people in sparsely populated zip codes in Kentucky and Vermont and West Virginia suddenly felt sad and started taking dangerous drugs. No. This particular disaster was created by drug companies. That's true. Purdue Pharma kicked it off. They did so by aggressively marketing a narcotic called OxyContin. They sold it to doctors, and doctors sold it to their patients, on the false claim it was non-addictive. It was very addictive. What happened next? Well, drive through upstate New York sometime. You can see the human carnage. Ultimately, Purdue Pharma faced a barrage of lawsuits and then criminal charges. In the end, however, not a single executive from that or any other drug company ever went to jail. So no one was ever really punished for all those deaths, hundreds of thousands of deaths. Well, for a brief moment, it seemed possible that somebody would be punished. No one remembers this, but during the Democratic primaries in 2019, Kamala Harris, of all people, described pharma executives as, quote, nothing more than some high-level dope dealers who should, quote, be held accountable. Then a few months later, she went further than that. Harris suggested the drug companies were so evil they might produce a COVID vaccine that wound up hurting people. Quote, if Donald Trump tells us we should take it, I'm not taking it, Harris said. And then other Democrats, including Andrew Cuomo, then the governor of New York, said the very same thing. But here's the amazing part. The second Joe Biden took office, talk like that stopped immediately. Never has a tune changed faster. Kamala Harris, who just months before had called drug companies dope dealers, suddenly sounded like the chief marketing officer at Pfizer. At one point, Harris announced that volunteers would go, quote, door to door to promote Pfizer's products. Never in our history have federal officials touted a publicly held company more aggressively than the Biden administration touted Pfizer. And as a result, Pfizer's stock price exploded. Its executives made billions. Gone was any suggestion that the drug companies might be capable of doing anything wrong ever. Instead, the media and the Biden administration lauded pharma executives as moral heroes. And some of their products are life-saving. That is true. But the bigger truth we are now learning is more complicated than that. In just the past few weeks, serious, very serious questions have emerged about some of the most widely prescribed drugs in America, very much including the COVID vaccines. But we want to begin tonight with what in any normal period would be front page news around the world. It turns out the entire premise behind the most commonly prescribed antidepressant drugs appears to be completely wrong. These drugs are known as SSRIs. They're ubiquitous. Between 1991 and 2018, total SSRI prescriptions in the U.S. rose by more than 3,000%. The number of prescriptions for the most common SSRIs hit 224 million last year. 224 million prescriptions in a country of 330 million people. In other words, you know dozens of people who are taking SSRIs. You may be taking them right now. And yet for decades, there have been strong indications that there is a problem with these drugs. And the most obvious is this. Antidepressants are supposed to cure depression. That's why they're prescribed. And yet over the same period that SSRI prescriptions have risen 3,000%, the suicide rate, maybe the most reliable indicator of all of depression, has not fallen in the United States. In fact, the suicide rate has jumped by 35%. That's a huge increase. That's a lot of dead people. Now, drug makers admit that their products may be part of the reason for the increase in suicide. The makers of Prozac, for example, concede that young people who take that drug have an increased risk of suicide compared to those who took a placebo. Think about that for a second. A drug that's supposed to make you less sad may make it more likely that you will kill yourself. How is that allowed? Well, it's been allowed because virtually no one has said a word about it. One person who did say something about it a long time ago was the actor Tom Cruise. All the way back in 2005, he had a very famous appearance on the Today Show. You may remember it. Here it is.
Here we are today, where I talk out against drugs and psychiatric abuses, of electric shocking people, okay, against their will, of drugging children with them not knowing the effects of these drugs. Do you know what Adderall is? Do you know Ritalin? Do you know now that Ritalin is a street drug? Do you understand that?
Aren't there examples, and might not Brooke Shields be an example of someone who benefited from one of those drugs?
All it does is mask the problem, Matt. And if you understand the history of it, it masks the problem. That's what it does. That's all it does. You're not getting to the reason why. There is no such thing as a chemical imbalance. Drugs aren't the answer. That these drugs are very dangerous. They're mind-altering, antipsychotic drugs. And there are ways of doing it without that so that we don't end up in a brave new world.
So Cruz said a few things. One, maybe you shouldn't trust the pharma companies and just hand your children whatever they're producing and hope for the best. Two, there's no such thing as a chemical imbalance in your brain that causes depression. He said that. And three, these drugs mask the real problems. You're suffering for a real reason that drugs can't fix.
Now, Joe, do you suppose that the reason that they don't talk about this, the reason that NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, all of the so-called, and Fox News, the mainstream media, really don't look into this or they kind of fluff it off, is because, Joe, that they're all aware of the world, the global depopulation program. They're all aware of that, and they're told that you are the liberal elite. You are the elite, and you have to be a part of this. We have to depopulate the planet. We have to get rid of lesser people so that there will be more for you. And these people in the media, these corrupt politicians, these mad scientists, they all feel that, well, you know, maybe we have too many children, or it's for the better. Yeah, that's right. They're killing children. They're aborting babies. But it's for the long run. It'll be better because we'll have a cleaner planet for the rest of us, right?
Exactly. And then part two of that is we know that there has been between these government agencies like the CDC and the Food and Drug Administration revolving doors with businesses. They serve a while in the CDC or in Food and Drug, and then they go over and they run one of the big corporations, and then they're back and forth. And these people are also all covering their derrieres, because if a lot of this truth got really out there, there'd be all these lawsuits because of all these people who committed suicide, died. Drug companies, the lawsuits, the money that they would lose would be incredible. And a lot of these people have so much stock in involvement with these government bureaucracies and the companies. So it's a combination of corruption and the, let's just depopulate the less desirable people, especially so Christians and conservatives.
We see time and time again, those in the CDC or the FDA, whoever plays ball with Big Pharma, when it's time to leave the CDC or whatever, they happen to have a really high-paying job waiting for them,
right,
at Big Pharma.
Really good job, yeah. Mm-hmm. Make a lot of money. Back to that money is the root of all evil thing.
Well, you know, that takes us to the medical cult. In order to graduate from medical school in America, you now, Joe, have to conform to white privilege allegations. That's right. In order to practice medicine in the United States, the next generation of doctors will first have to undergo an extensive rite of anti-white brainwashing in medical school. The Association of American Medical Colleagues has just released new guidelines for teaching medicine that requires students to learn about white privilege in American medical school. Students will also need to achieve certain competencies and concepts like anti-colonialism and race as a social construct in order to pass their classes and get licensed to practice. Related anti-white diversity officers are among the fastest growing job positions in today in America, Joe.
Since the highest paying positions in the college and universities are these diversity officers.
Since the founding of the United States, there have been systematic health and healthcare iniquities grounded in racism, sexism, homophobia, classism, and other forms of discrimination that still permeate our current health systems, reads a new release from the what they call the American Medical Colleges, entitled Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Competencies Across the Learning Curriculum. The recent broad societal calls for social justice and desperate impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic have added urgency to make for improved integration of diversity, equity, inclusion, and anti-racism. Joe, I encourage the people out there to go to natural paths. Homeopathic.
Yep.
People like Wendy Wilson, people like Peter Glidden, to try to find them to use natural medicines, use the AMA, as little as possible. They've betrayed you. They've lost you. They have lost your trust in them because they have bowed down, and they were willing to betray you for Big Pharma, those that pushed the kill shots upon you, and you still don't know, and they're still denying and hiding and covering up how many people are dying every day in this country because of those kill shots. But that's why we're here.
True that what you're saying is already taken place. Medical students, it's a story about students who couldn't stomach pro-life views. There was a pro-life professor at the University of Michigan, was a speaker, and they're at what they call a white coat ceremony, part of their medical training at the university there. And students had a petition to have this Dr. Christine Collier censored, and the students decided to make a public protest, and several dozen medical students walked out of this ceremony where this highly respected doctor was a teacher, and they walked out on her because she was simply pro-life. Now, her entire speech had nothing to do with being pro-life. It was all about medicine. So here we have a student physician who couldn't stand, had to walk out. These people should be barred from medicine. I mean, if their ideology is so strong that the acceptance of human differences, like pro-life, pro-death, if you can't let somebody have an opinion, how could these people ever respect you as a patient? If they couldn't respect the teacher who didn't even speak on life, they walked out on her, what would they do if you walk in as a patient and they find out you're pro-life, you're a Christian? Are they going to walk out and let you die?
Well, Joe, God's word, the Bible's pretty clear. The Lord Jesus said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, okay? So choose life. Now, not only that, but he goes on, and remember what he says to these people that walked out, okay? He tells you in Jeremiah 2:34 that he's referring to their skirts are filled with the blood of the innocent, the blood of the innocent, okay? Not only that, but those people that were Well, if you go back to, and read Deuteronomy chapter 20 and read the first five verses there, and let me just see. For example, not Deuteronomy, I mean Leviticus chapter 20.
Leviticus 20.
Yeah, and if you read the very first five verses, let's do that here. And the Lord said,
Go ahead. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Moloch, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people.
Well, what has happened, Joe, since 1973, America has gone whoring, okay?
Whoring, yeah.
America has, now these people, these bloody wicked abortionists in that ungodly Supreme Court, not only if they are unclean, but God's word says that these people should be, they're whores. That court were whores. They're wicked. Now, God has said that. What if you say, I know God said that, but I know that's in the Old Testament. I don't agree with that. And so God and I have a disagreement. Who's going to win that argument?
God is going to win because he tells us his word is eternal. If he changes something, like there were a few changes from the Old to the New Testament, God makes it very clear what they are and why they were changed.
So those people that walked out on her, on that woman, a woman doctor, the pro-lifer, mm-hmm. If we could get them in a room and lock the door, what would you say to them?
I would tell them that they are headed for hell, and they better reconsider who's in charge of life, why it's important, who is in control of the world, and the fact that they want to be doctors, and the hypocritic oath was to do no harm. Well, if you start off killing babies, you're doing harm.
So would you tell these people
somewhere in there and just go from there?
The God's word, the Bible, has said what you're doing is a sin. You are violating God's laws, okay? And that here you have crossed over when God gave us the divine institution of human government. He kept the entire purpose, Joe, the entire purpose of divine human government, point number three, was to preserve the image of God, that being the child, that being mankind, okay? And so here, would you say to these people, you have transgressed God's dominion, and God has said, unless you, and I would tell them very clearly, unless you repent of what you have done, you're going to end up in a burning lake of fire, and it doesn't matter what you believe. And if you continue to harden your jaw, if you continue to stiffen your neck, if you continue to rebel against God, then your torment in that burning lake of fire will be the greater. Would you tell them that?
I sure would. And then all those different biblical examples of all what happened to those who went up against God, who defied God. I can't think of one time where God lost. Can you?
No. We need to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Liz Harrington. And Liz Harrington is Trump's spokeswoman. She says, Biden is the coward along with others who tried to rubber stamp his illegitimate results from November 3rd. Here's a woman that told the truth. She dared to tell the truth. Now, she goes on to say, Joe Biden made up a plethora of lies about January 6th on Monday in a call to police in Florida. Biden made it sound like Trump supporters were beating up cops on January 6th, and the truth shows Trump supporters were helping police pick up trash at the Capitol. Well, if they'd have picked
up. Beaten up was that one lady was beaten by a female cop, and she died, and they said, well, it was because she had a heart attack, but she was beaten to death with a baton. Can't think of her name right offhand, but.
All right. Biden then called President Trump guilty of insurrection. Biden stole the 2020 election to obtain power for criminal leftovers from the Obama gang, who couldn't win an election fair and square because their policies are anti-American and destruction. And they look at the economy of Afghanistan and the border, etc. She goes on to say, Biden's shot at Trump was pathetic, as he had zero courage and zero presence in the 2020 when his party was burning down cities across the country. And that's exactly what they were doing when the Democrats were burning down cities across the country and encouraging it. Harrington said Monday on the Just the News, Not Noise TV show. And you had Nasty Pelosi calling law enforcement stormtroopers as Portland burned for over 100 days in riots. She told Cohus, John Solomon, and Amanda Head, Joe Biden did nothing. In fact, he encouraged lawlessness during his visit to Kenosha after the president, the real legitimate president, Donald Trump, who cleaned that up before another city was going to burn. Okay.
But, Pastor Ernie, the press said those were mostly peaceful protesters that we saw burning down car lots and buildings and raiding things and beating people up. That's what they call them, mostly peaceful.
Yep, I hear you. Let's go take some calls. Who did you say we had there? I'm sorry.
We got Cliff.
Well, I know we would have Cliff. Cliff is here. It's more than I am. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, I want to go to the study after, but I just want to say I got this audio book about a week ago. It's called The Dopamine Nation. It's by a woman shrink who works at a Stanford University, and a lot of her patients are students there. But she has a chapter 3, and in it she talks about Adderall and the other Ritalin. And she says that their stimulants basically speed, and it releases 10 times the dopamine that people would normally release in their brains, and they give it to children. They diagnose children as attention deficit disorder and say, take this and you'll be able to focus better. But she says, like, the brain itself operates under a reflex, and it'll level back to the other direction. Like, it's not under conscious control, it's just under reflex. And what happens, the more you take, the more tolerant. It's like alcohol, you know how they say people get tolerant to it and they need more to drink. So it goes in the reverse, and these people end up with actually more pain ultimately. And then I had remember reading an article at Yale University. Kids with students at Yale would get a prescription to this stuff, you know, feigning that they had this ADD, and then they would end up selling it and making extra dough to other students. But I want to go to the study.
But Cliff, before on that study, we've talked about in this radio program way back, there were some of those kids that were they called hyperactive. They were taking street drugs, speed, and found out it calmed them down. They were studying better and whatever, and that's where they got the idea for using Ritalin for the students in school. It all started when some of the kids changed their wild behavior by taking street drugs called speed. So we've talked about that many times on the radio and warn people that these are, you know, originally street drugs. And
do you remember the percentage of these school shooters, these teenage shooters, the percentage of them that were had been on Ritalin or some of these other
Adderall.
Yeah. Right, we've talked about that many times.
100%. Just shy of 100% of them have been on that drugs. What does that tell you?
Well, 10 times the dopamine, that's a lot. It's not like it's 1.5. That's a major, blow to the functioning of the brain. And like she said, it's just a reflex. It's like a lever or a seesaw. It just goes in the other direction, and that's where you get trouble.
Why when you take those drugs, the children that are on it have to wean off it, and it usually takes 3 to 6 months to wean them off. And like it was Diebold and his buddy, they had quit taking their drugs together, and within days, that's when they committed their big school shooting because they got crazy violent because they didn't taper off of their drugs.
It's funny, this author said she was addicted to candy erotic novels, and then she wasn't getting the same rush from them. She said she was getting a dopamine rush. She spent most of her free time reading these novels for 2 years. So the woman that wrote the book had problems, too.
All righty. We're going to have to move on, but go ahead.
Quickly about the study, it said Dead Man's Bones, right? In that study, and if you look at Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 7, it almost plays right into that. Goes, about the dead man's bones,
Jeremiah chapter 8, okay.
1 to 7, yeah. It's interesting that correlates.
The bones of the princess, the bones of the priest, the bones of the prophet, the inhabitants of Jerusalem's out of their grave.
Well, yeah. Here, what he's talking about, as God had watched the nation there, he saw people living very, very, very sinful lives by choice, deceiving themselves. And that there would be no constant, the idea that just like to listen. It couldn't be more like it is today, because they were doing this, but they were deceiving themselves that there would be no consequences. There was going to be no consequences. They had totally lost the perspective concerning, what God wanted for them, their will for their lives, the fact that they were trying to, instead of trying to minimize their sin, they didn't. They went in the other direction, and.
Look at verse 6. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, "What have I done?" Everyone turned to his course as the horse rushes to the battle. What have I done? I haven't done anything. It's denial, right?
Right.
Right, right. Like Pfizer should have withdrawn this right from the market. We found out within like 2 weeks they got more complaints than every other shot in the history of mankind. So
here's what he says. He says, "But my people know not the judgment of the Lord," and that's what we've been trying to preach here for 50 years.
Yeah, trying to warn people.
Right, right. It's one other thing, from the discussion last night, I'm starting to look at Psalms from the angle of the enemies, of not only of David, for example, but of the Lord, and I found a verse. It's Psalm 37, verse 20, it says right in that verse, enemies of the Lord.
Absolutely, absolutely. Got to move on, but thanks, yeah. Cliff. All right, who did you say we had next?
We got Natalie.
Natalie, you're in the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question in the book of Revelation about the mystery Babylon the Great. Now, I can remember hearing that Babylon meant confusion, and it was on the woman's forehead. And I was thinking that, we heard about that Michelle Obama's going to run for president in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard you say that Obama called his limousine the Beast. Mm. And then I was thinking the woman rides a scarlet-colored beast. And I was just thinking about it the other night, and I thought, wow, I wonder if that has some significance. Because it seems like America has become Babylon the Great. The big.
Well, America, actually America, yeah. You know what? You're right, Manly, because in many places in the world, New York City has been known as Babylon over, you know, for a long, long time. But America, in a sense, well, they have, because look, the Babylon consists of three parts. It's got the political, the economic, and the religion. Now, in New York City on 9/11, the World Trade Centers represented the economic. Okay, the United Nations building represented the political, and housed within the United Nations was the World Council of Religions. So you had all three there in New York City. And so you have that, you have the three elements there that make Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth.
He's drunk with the blood from, and then, you know,
of the saints, yeah,
with all the nations. And when you hear about the different things that America has done deceitfully through the CIA and everything around the world, it almost makes you wonder if we're not fulfilling this prophecy now.
Well, if you read Revelation chapter 18, you know, 17 and 8, but especially chapter 18. And you think about 9/11. If you read that, now think about 9/11, think about New York City, think about what happened out in the harbor when those planes hit. The Coast Guard made every ship out in the harbor drop anchors. They had to drop their anchor right where they were. Those ships were loaded. They were loaded with shrimp and loaded with fresh fruits and loaded with, you know, things that would spoil, milk and cheese and stuff. But they had to stay. They had to drop anchor right there. And what do you think happened? Because it took days and days and days before they could inspect all those ships, and that's what they did. You'll find it, wow, if it doesn't exactly, you know, sound like exactly like here in Revelation chapter 18.
We're right smack in that prophecy.
Yeah.
Types and shadows of things to come.
And after Revelation 18 comes Revelation 19.
Yep, and that
Supper of the Lamb.
Yep, and well, Revelation 19, when it starts with verse 11, that's where we're looking for. Well, of course, in verse 6, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Last call.
Yep, you're right.
We should be, all of us across the world should be looking up.
We are. A lot of us are. We're looking. The Lord said he's returning for those that are looking for him to return, huh?
Right.
Amen.
And then to those that are looking for him, will he return a second time apart from sin for salvation?
Amen. Yeah. Natalie, on January or on 9/11 and September 11th, which is a Sunday, we're looking for pastors all across America to preach a message on repentance, to reach to and that and ask the good Lord. Okay, ask the good Lord to.
He should be doing it now.
Yeah, well, we do that, but we're going to do it on a national point, point on 9/11, and you'll hear a lot more about that. We're going to be starting a national campaign. And we're setting that up for 9/11, and so.
Good. Yeah.
But we're going to be praying tonight, and do you get our newsletter?
Oh yeah, thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome. Now, what do you tell the folks out there? What you think of our newsletter?
I think it's very accurate. My husband was murdered in February, exactly with what's written on that newsletter.
Yep. We are going to, it's free. It doesn't cost you a thing.
Yeah.
We send it to you.
He had the gift of prophecy.
Yep.
And I'll never forget after he was murdered, it just came back to me that he was way back to like 2008, 2009, he had walked past the TV set. He saw Obama on the TV, and he pointed to him. He said, "That's the Antichrist." And it just like kind of hit me. And then hearing Michelle Obama was going to run for the presidency in 2024, I'm thinking. And then the beast thing, and all this confusion, gender confusion, and you know everything that's happening. It just seems like we're smack in the middle of prophecy.
Well, you know what? You're right, and I'm sorry to hear about your husband, but he knew the Lord, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's with him right now.
Amen. Well, praise the good Lord for that, and that's the important thing. We're all going to die, but you're right. When it comes to Obama, if you were to ask me, Pastor, what evidence, in other words, if you would say, according to the Bible, what would be the best candidate for the Antichrist, I would have to tell you it would be Obama, because his name is in the Bible, okay? And he may very well be the Antichrist.
Or where is it, Ezekiel or Zechariah?
Well, no, there's many places if you start off. In fact, if you go to over into Isaiah chapter 14, for example, and you read, maybe I get there very quickly.
That's the Satan chapter, right?
Yeah, right. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground that did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of this, in the sides of the north. Now listen to this. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now it's very important because the clouds always refer to the saints, including angels. But that word heights there in the Hebrew is Obama. It's spelled U-G-B-A-M-A. Obama. Now, it's pronounced Obama. Now, the definition is the elevated one. The elevated one. But if you take the UG off and just have Obama, or Bama rather, just Bama, the definition is the elevated place.
Right.
And the high place. Now, it's got two definitions. One is The primary one is heaven itself, okay?
Yeah.
But now if I go over to, for example, I believe it's in Ezekiel chapter, I think it's chapter 20, if I remember right, or it would be 20 or 20. It's either Ezekiel 20, verse 29, or Ezekiel 29, let me see. Okay, yeah, here you go. This is Ezekiel 20 and verse 29. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto you go? And he named thereof is called Bama unto this day. Bama unto this day.
Right.
And that means that the primary place is heaven, the high place. But the secondary definition here, wherefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, you are after the manner, polluted the manner of your fathers. But let me go back to verse 28. For when I had brought them into the land for in which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, they saw every high hill and thick trees, and they offered up their sacrifices. There they presented in a provocation of their offerings, and also they made the sweet offerings and poured out their drink. But then it goes on to say here, for when you offer your gifts, you make your sons and daughters pass through the fire. You pollute yourselves with your idols. So the high place, the Bama, is where they sacrifice their children.
Right.
Barack Obama is the most pro-abortion senator that was when he was a senator. He was the most pro-abortion senator in all of the Senate, the most by far. Now let me take you to one other verse here, and that would be, if I could find, that would be over in Well, let me see. Was it Luke 10? I think it was, it was Luke chapter 10. Now, get ready for this. Verse 18. Ready?
Yeah.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning. Okay? That word right there in the Greek, lightning, is barak.
Really?
Yeah. And the Greek and the Hebrew, it's barak. One is spelled B-A-R-A-K. The other is B-A-R-A-Q, but it's spelled barak. It's pronounced barak. I beheld Satan as barak fall from heaven. That word there in the Hebrew is what? Bama. Bama.
Boy.
I beheld Satan as barak fall from Bama. What is that a coincidence, what I just showed you?
Does that mean that Satan is going to inhabit the Antichrist?
Well, Satan does inhabit the Antichrist.
Okay, he did that in 2020. I heard it in the spirit. Something walking across the earth, walking. Now I'm up by in the Boston area, and this thing was coming. I could hear it from miles away, and it was coming, and it was walking across the earth, and I knew it was big just by the pace of the footsteps. I could hear it in the spirit. I was so terrified. My husband and I crawled in the bed, covered ourselves with the blankets, and pleaded the blood of Jesus over us.
Oh,
this thing passed over me, over us, and went offshore.
I've got to move on right now because all the lines are filled up. But, hey, thank you. God bless you. Thanks for calling. Let me go. Who do we have next?
We got Linda.
Linda, you're in the air. Hey, Linda.
Hello there, Pastor Ernie. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I've been listening to you throughout this past year. I didn't know about your ministry until I got on my little radio, and then I tuned you in, and I've been following you ever since. And I wanted to let you know, I have been trying recently here. I've saved up some money to send to you. I've got about $1,700 to send to you. The problem is, every time I go to do this, I get attacked by the enemy. And today I was looking forward to getting this, you know, going down and getting my check and then go to the post office and mail it off to you. And I became completely non-functional. Now, I'm very healthy. I'm doing just well, but I had an attack on me. And, you know, I've been in warfare for a long time. My grandmother was like an evangelist here in San Diego, where my family lives. And so I've been raised on Jesus since I was, you know, born. And I have been through many, many battles, the Lord and I, and to help stop evil. And I just had to call you tonight because this was so strange for this to come on me and to happen like me. It was as if I was a zombie all of a sudden. I just walked around the house. I didn't even know what to do. And I've been praying, you know. I don't have any support. My family isn't as strong as I am. They love Jesus and all that, but they're not really I am in touch with Christ daily.
But Linda, let us do this tomorrow. Look, believe me, I know what you're talking about. We are having, there's a real uptick in the attacks. And just like even tonight, the crazies are all calling. The Satan's children are trying to call. They're upset with this radio program. I've been having, in our church, you know, in our church, all of a sudden, there's attacks coming from all over where the enemy's coming, and we expect this, because of what we're doing. We realize and we understand it's because of what we're doing, and we're going to pray for you, Linda. What state are you in?
I'm in California. I was born and raised here, And I'm in a very safe area. We've got a lot of great, California is, you know, from above San Diego, it's pretty, it's bad.
Yeah, I know. I've been there. We're going to keep you in prayer. We have, maybe if you call our office and give us a name, we have a number of ladies that are good, solid Christian ladies that would that you could use as prayer partners down there that could probably help you out. Okay, call our office. Can you?
I have these call numbers, you know, like when you're doing the fundraising, but
Here's the office number. It's 440. Let me give you the office number. It's 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367. Call, leave your name and your phone number there, and do it tonight, and we'll maybe get it tomorrow morning before we go to prayer, and we will pray for you and put you in touch with some of these the ladies right in your area right there. But we have to go because we're out of time. But God bless you. Joe, you've got 3 minutes, and it's a short 3 minutes.
All right. I was just looking at the headings of some of the hymns in Scripture. One of them, ye must be born again. And I was thinking of 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And as the world passes away, the lust thereof, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God, is that none be lost, that all come to the glory of God. And to do that, ye must be, like the hymn says, ye must be born again. And so many people, I hear all the time, well, yeah, I believe that, but I'll get around to it. One of the hymns is called, you know, Why Not Now? Why We Pray and While We Plead. Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throng. Why not? Why not come to him now? There's a lot more of that hymn, but I'm short on time. The Lord says ye must be born again, and to do that, it's really a very simple process, but it takes something special, repentance. With a repentant heart, a sorrowful heart, you must call upon the Father and ask him to forgive you because it was your sins that placed his Son upon that cross. Jesus took your place, my place, on that cross at Calvary, died, paid the price for my sin. And when you call upon the Father, you ask for forgiveness that happened. And then you ask that you want Jesus Christ, his Son, to be Lord of your life, all of your life, that you want to give yourself to him completely, without reservation, without hesitation. And this is how you become born again, by asking the Lord to come in. This is where you get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's your down payment on eternal life. You become then the temple of God himself, because you have God dwelling in you. Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you by the Holy Spirit. You become that born-again believer. You become a child of the kingdom. You become a
We are out of time for tonight, Joe. We're out of time. So we want to say, as we always say, good night. God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.